All right, so I'm going to preach today. This is probably going to be a two or three or four or five part one here. I want to ask you a question. And a lot of people ask this question. And I want you to just think about the answer that you would give them. And it is this. What do I have to do to make sure that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven? Now, lots of things race through your mind, right? Lots of things, lots of people say lots of things. And I'm thinking about, Johnny, I'm thinking about entering the world of publications and maybe even trying to do a Bible study. A long flow chart. Got a picture in my mind. I've been talking about this to someone that I work with also. And as I lay it out, I want him to read it so he can see how you gotta, what you got to do to get to heaven. So what do we have to do to get to heaven? What do we have to do to get to heaven? Somebody might say, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Right? You're going to be that quiet on me. Well, repent of your sins and you'll be saved. It's just faith. Just believe. Just believe. Amy and I were driving down the road the other day, and she's like, why doesn't nobody hardly sings about heaven anymore? And I just came up with one of the wisest, most profound answers ever. And I said, well, you don't need to talk about where everybody's going. Everybody's going to heaven. Nobody's going to the other place. Everybody is going to heaven. So I want to know this. What does the Bible say on getting to heaven? What does the Bible say that we have to do to get to heaven? Now, we live in a generation and an age that people argue with you all the time. Okay? We have YouTube and internet Bible argumentators. All right? Alex is an argumentator. He likes to get on there and get them all stirred up. And that's okay. That's fine. I mean, you know, some people's personality, once in a while you have to have a good fight. Anybody like that? You got to have a good fight. If you don't have a good fight, you feel like you've been cheated in life. I know Brother Troy's like that because I'm like that. We kind of wired the same. I told Amy the other day, I said, I really haven't had a good fight with anybody in a long time. And I'm really missing it. Looking at me like, what's wrong with you? But Alex was talking to somebody about the scriptures, and the reply basically, and I hope I get this right, was this. Yes, that's what the Bible says, but I don't believe that. Is that what it was? That's what the Bible says, but I don't believe that. That is the generation that we're living in. All right? So we're going to go to the book of Romans today. We're going to start in Romans, and we're going to be all over the place. Romans chapter 1, verse 15 says, so I am eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work. That's nice, isn't it? Saving everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also the Gentile. Now, that's Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And right after this, in verse 18, he starts naming all those nasty sins that those folks will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know what I'm talking about there? You read Romans chapter 1, 18 on? It gets hot. Paul dips his potent pen in some red hot sauce and starts to write about these are not going to heaven and these are not going to heaven and These who abuse themselves with mankind and these who lay with these and are not going to heaven. But we live in a generation that says, I know what the Bible says, but I don't believe that. So how do you deal with that? How do we deal with that? I'll tell you how we deal with it. We say next. Next, until they're ready to hear what the Word says and believe what the Word says, no matter what they believe, their heart's not ready. So you're just wasting your time trying to beat them up and get it into them. You know what I'm saying? You with me so far? All right, so let's look at verse 17. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. So the gospel makes us right in God's sight. Okay? This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. All right. So, what is the gospel? To me, it's as easy as ABC, 1, 2, 3. And I hope that after this series that some of you will feel the same way and have the same confidence that I do, that this is just easy. Now, let me say that when you grab a hold of this and you embrace this, you're going to have people who will not agree with you. You will have people who will stop coming to church here because they don't agree with you, because they cannot understand why Aunt Ethel, who was such a holy, righteous person, never gambled, never cussed, never cheated on her spouse, never lied, never gossiped, never did anything. Are you telling me that she's not in heaven? Come on, you've heard this before. Y'all looking at me like I'm losing weight or something. So what is the gospel? What is the gospel? The gospel. It's a noun. Right? It's the teachings of Jesus and the apostles, the Christian revelation. Now, whether the world likes it or not, Christianity is a mainstream religion in the world. And it's not just a religion, it's based on an experience, and we get our roots from the Jews. We are Judeo-Christian. Have you heard that term before? We are Judeo-Christian. So the teachings of Jesus, that's why Israel is hated, because Jesus came out of Israel. That's why the world hates Jews, because Jesus was a Jew by natural birth. By spiritual birth, Jesus was the Father, the eternal Spirit of God that hovered over the waters in Genesis 1 and then hovered over Mary in Matthew 1. Amen. Amen. And so this eternal Spirit of God dwelt in a body, and He chose the Jewish people because way back in Genesis chapter 12, He called a man out of Ur, the Chaldees, by the name of Abram. And He said, you know what? There's something special about you. You have faith to believe that you can hear from a God that you cannot touch, that you cannot see, that you cannot feel. So Abraham became the father of the faithful and became the first Jew. And out of that bloodline and out of that lineage, that's where the body of Jesus, the Son of God, the sonship of Jesus, that's where it all came into being, down through that bloodline. That's why the devil hates Israel. That's why the world hates Israel, is because that's where the Messiah came from. And the world hates Christians, and the world hates the Messiah, and the world hates anything to do with God. You know, during a pandemic, you can shut down every church because we may spread germs by singing, but you can still go to an abortion clinic and have an abortion. Do they have germs in abortion clinics? I don't know. I've never been in one. So the teaching of Jesus and the apostles in this Christian revelation, let me give you some facts about the gospel. The word gospel appears in the scriptures, the King James Version, 101 times. Never in the Old Testament at all. You don't see the word gospel until it happens in the New Testament. And the word gospel simply means good news. That's what Paul was talking about in Revelation. He said the good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Paul not only wrote Romans, but he also wrote 1 Corinthians 15, and that's where we're going to go today for the basis of our digression here. Okay, moreover, brethren, this is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, this is King James, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Yeah? You hearing that? If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Notice where Paul is saying he's getting his information. He's getting it from the Scriptures. A lot of times you start talking to somebody about something that you believe that they may not believe, or something they believe that you may not believe in, and how many times have they said, well, this is what the Bible says, or do they say, well, I read this book, and in this book, it brought the Scriptures to more light for me. But what does the Bible say? See, we're old-fashioned around here. We want to know what the Bible says. What did the Bible say? What did Jesus say? What did Paul say? I like Dr. Tony Evans. I love Dr. Tony Evans. I like hearing him preach. Now, that's a Baptist guy that knows how to preach. I'm not sure. He may have a little fire in the belly there. I'm wondering. But anyhow, I like to hear Jensen Franklin preach. I like to hear, and I like Bishop Jakes, I like to hear him preach. Now, don't judge me on this, but listen, Joel has some good thoughts. I said, don't judge me, right? Joel Osteen has good thoughts at times. And I'd hate to tell you this, but I have preached some of them to you. I took the label off the can before I served you dinner, right? And it was good. It was real good. I'm not telling you which ones it was, but it was good. But the very foundation of this whole thing is, what does the Bible say? What did Jesus say? What did the apostles say? Because you see, Jesus delivered to the apostles everything that he wanted in that early church. And the early church in Jerusalem was not a church that's a denomination. It wasn't a Pentecostal church. It wasn't a Baptist church. It wasn't a Presbyterian church. It wasn't a Methodist church. It was the church. In fact, if it had a name, they called it the Way. The Way. And then after a while, they said, these are the men that have turned the world upside down from this church called the Way. So we go in and say, what does the Bible say about all of this? So let's break it down. Let's look. Well, we're going to try to break it down. Well, Jonathan, did you lock me out again? Not. All right. Yep, there we went. Let's break it down. What's the gospel in a nutshell? Okay, we're going to tear it down in the New Living Translation. Okay, so we read it originally in the King James. Here we go, New Living. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. Okay, so number one is this. It was preached to you. The gospel was preached to you. And you welcomed it. Because listen, when you're hungry, it doesn't matter where the food came from a lot of times. Because if you're really, really hungry, you just got to eat. You see what I'm saying? When we're hungry spiritually, we have to have something that takes care of the gnawing inside. It has to take care of the emptiness inside. It has to take care of everything that is there. Now, I don't know about you, but my experience in my life was when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that took care of every ounce of hunger spiritually in my life. It took care of every deficiency. It took care of every piece, a part of lack that I had, because I had now been infused with power from on high. I had now been filled with the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that rolled out the heavens and the earth, that same Spirit was living inside and is living inside of my temple. That same Spirit that hovered over Mary is the same Spirit that lives in my life. That same Spirit that fell on the apostles on the day of Pentecost is that same Spirit that lives in my life now. It's been in there last week. I told you 1941, but that was incorrect. I was under some powerful unction there. 1981, it's been there for like 42 years. 42 years of walking in peace. 42 years of walking in hope. 42 years of walking in expectation. 42 years of having a song on your heart. Do you have bad days? Yes, I do have bad days sometimes. Do you have challenges? Yes, I have challenges. Do you have people that rise up against you? Yes, I do have people that rise up against me. Do you have people that are mean to you? I guess they are. I just think they're ignorant. They're probably just mean to me. Yeah. But I have something inside that takes care of all of that. And it comes through the gospel. And it comes through believing. So Paul says it was preached to you, you welcomed it, and you still, what? Stand firm in it. All right, let's go on. What does it say next? It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Now, it is the gospel that continues to save you. Okay? It is the gospel that continues to save you, unless, of course, you believe something that never was true in the first place. So, it saves you, and it continues if you continue to believe the message. Now, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to go to my grave if I get that far down the road. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to say you have to be baptized, you have to repent, you have to be baptized, and you have to have the Holy Ghost. Pretty sure. You know why? Because that's what was told me. It was delivered to me. Just like it was delivered to Paul. Well, how do you know you had to have those, Pastor? Well, we're just going to keep on going, right? We're going to keep on going here. 1 Corinthians 15:3. I passed on to you what was most important and what had been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. Notice he put that tagline on there, just as the Scripture said. So we get out of this, passed on the most important information, and Christ died for our sins. Let's continue. Verse number 4 says this. Yes, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said. So he was buried, number 1. Yes. He was raised from the dead the third day, just like the Scripture said. Notice we're not going back into the works of Josephus. We're not going back into the works of Justin Martyr. I'm helping you now, Johnny. I'm down here with you. Brandon's already gone. We're not going into the works of Tertullian. How about that for a name? What kind of mom would name their kid Tertullian? Oh, the same one named Tracy. We're not going into the works of the early fathers. We're going back to what the scriptures have said. I'm trying to share with you, if somebody asks you, what do I have to do to get ready to get to heaven? I'm going to tell you, you've got to have the gospel. And people have all kinds of different definitions of what the gospel is. Some say, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. That's Romans chapter 10, 8 and 9, correct? Now, it's in there, but you've got to ask yourself this question. Number one, who was he talking to? Number two, what had they already experienced or had they dealt with? First of all, Paul was talking to Romans, Jews who lived in Rome. And he was, first of all, saying this, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, what's he talking about? He's talking to Jews who thought that Jesus was not the Messiah. So first of all, they're going to have a working faith and belief that Jesus is the Messiah in order for that Messiah to save them. That makes sense? If you've been here long enough, you know the breakdown of the New Testament. The breakdown of the New Testament, there's 27 books in the New Testament. Yes. There's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're at the front of the New Testament. They introduce us to Christ. They are biographies about the life of Jesus Christ, the ministry of Jesus Christ. The next book is called the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts, the actions of the apostles. After this is when the church is born. The church is born in the book of Acts. Every church that was born in the New Testament was found born in the book of Acts. Okay? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John introduce us to Christ. Acts puts me in Christ. Right? And Acts puts Christ in me. Then Romans through Jude are called epistles. What's an epistle? Little boy raised his hand in Sunday school class and he said, it's the wife of the apostle. No. Sorry. We'd have gonged him, Ginger. He'd have gotten gonged. An epistle is a letter of instruction. Romans is a letter of instruction that Paul wrote to the Jewish believers in Rome. Corinthians, two letters sent to the Corinthians, the church at Corinth, they were Greeks that Paul wrote. Letters of instruction. See that what I'm saying there? So they keep us in Christ. Those epistles keep us in Christ. Those letters show us how we're supposed to live in Christ. And then the last book is Revelation. It's a book of prophecy showing us what our future is going to be in Christ and with Christ. So now Paul, when they say Romans 10, if you believe in your mouth and confess with your heart Jesus is Lord, he was dealing with the Messiahship that the Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And if you don't believe somebody can help you, you're not going to let them help you. Right? You just might as well do it yourself. So that's what he was trying to establish there. Because if that's the case, he writes to the Corinthians something totally different about salvation. He writes to the Corinthians, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's what he says to them. He says the gospel is this, Christ died. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Now, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, John says, really, you need to be baptized in me. And Jesus looks at him and says, suffered to be all righteousness. You got to baptize me for an example. Because if I don't get baptized, there's going to be somebody in Vandalia, Illinois in 2023 that's going to say, now Jesus didn't get baptized. So if Jesus didn't get baptized, then I don't have to get baptized either. None of you have probably ever ran into anybody like that. They all come to me. I get them all. Somebody's talking one day and I'm listening to the conversation. They said, you know, I read the Bible, but I just don't understand it. I had the answer. Yeah, you need the Holy Ghost. Because if you get the Holy Ghost in you, You'll be looking through the eyes of the one who wrote it then. And you'll start to read it, and it'll start to make sense to you. Has anybody experienced that? Before you got the Holy Ghost, the Bible was like, I'm not even picking this thing up. There is no way. I don't understand it. It's got all these and thous and the goeth and it and all that stuff. And it just doesn't make any sense. But when the Holy Ghost comes into your life, he's the author of it. That's what the epistles say, that holy men of God were moved on, and all scripture is given by divine revelation, because these holy men of old and holy men of God were moved on by the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost told Peter what to write, and the Holy Ghost told Paul what to write, and the Holy Ghost told Jeremiah what to write, and what Moses needed to write. And now when you read it full of the Holy Ghost, it's like, oh, it all comes together now. It all makes sense. Because you got the eyes of the one who wrote it, reading it. Oh, yeah. The death, the burial, the resurrection. What did Jesus say about the gospel? I know you don't believe this, but I'm almost done. I'm not overloading you with this because there's a lot of information here. All right? What did Jesus say about the gospel? What did he say about it? That's what scholars call the Great Commission. All right? The Great Commission is the time frame between when Jesus was resurrected and right before his ascension. He gave his final commands while still on earth to those people following him. So there's the Great Commission. It's found in three different Gospels. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Each has a little bit different rendition of it, all right? That doesn't mean that it's wrong, but maybe somebody picked up something that the other one didn't pick up. You see what I'm saying here? So let's look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. This is Jesus talking here. He had just been crucified, and he just resurrected himself from the dead. You guys realize that? You're serving a God who raised himself up from the dead. Krishna is still in the grave. Buddha is still in the grave. John Lennon is still in the grave. Well, Pastor, why'd you put John Lennon in there? Because John Lennon said we're more popular than Jesus Christ. 1969 or 70. The Beatles. Wonder what Mr. Lennon would say today if we could talk to him. You know? All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. I want you to teach. I want you to tell people. I want you to inform people. Now, we want to have the moving of the Holy Ghost here at church. We want to have it where people are at the altar crying. We want to have it where people are on the apostolic track team doing laps. We want to have it where people are dancing. And by the way, oh, he's already asleep. Zach, can you hear me? I saw you over there in the praise pit. You look good over there. Yeah. Riker, where was you at? You back at your seat. You're going to get bold enough and go there one day, okay? You can do this. We want to have that emotion. We want to have that touch. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we have a solid foundation on what we stand on. That when somebody says, well, you need to prove to me this, how much time do you have? Because I'm going to take you through the Gospels. I'm going to take you through the Old Testament. I'm going to take you through the epistles. I'm going to take you everywhere. So you better make sure you got some time. Set some time aside because I got some stuff for you. So he said, I want you to teach all nations, baptizing them. After you teach them, there's going to be a response. And he said, you're going to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, King James, Holy Spirit, everywhere else. Same thing. Comes from the Greek word pneuma. Blast of air. Okay? How about that? Sorry, Amy. You all may want to take your pastor's appreciation gift back. Just busted your eardrums. Sorry. And so, he says, I want you to teach. And then you're going to baptize. Right? The next thing he says is this. Teaching them to what? Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I want them to pay attention to it as well. If you go back to John 14 and John 15 and you see Jesus, this is his prayer for the future believers. He was praying for his apostles, but yet he also prayed for those who would believe on him through their word. And those who would believe on him through those words. Down to us today. And so we're believing what the Bible says here. And the other thing is this. When you get this thing lined out, there's something that happens. It's not just they bring you up and vote on you. I would not want to be in some churches where they're going to vote on you to be a member. That could hurt my self-esteem. I'd want to turn my back so I wouldn't know who voted against me. Okay, don't tell me. All right. Grace didn't make it. Okay. Grace, you made it. What do you know? Those are magic words. When you obey and you observe everything he's commanded, there's going to be actions that are going to take place in your life. You see, when I got this thing, I didn't just get a card and a handshake. I didn't get voted on to be a part of an assembly. I got an experience. And that experience has taken me all the way to right now. And that's what all of you in here that have experienced the experience are experiencing. You got a hold of that, Danny? Pick out that? You have the experience of the experience that you have been experiencing. Because this thing doesn't stop when you walk out the door. This thing doesn't stop when you drive your car. This thing doesn't stop when you go to Walmart. But I'm sure he's pressured at times. Walmart. I know he's pressured at my house every day when those Amazon boxes come to the porch. Because when I come around the corner, I'm pressured. It's, oh, Lord, they found us again. Oh, found us again. You see, this is a relationship that lasts forever. This is a relationship. This is a love affair. This is a love story here that he loved me before I could even know him. And before I could even take my first breath, he already died for me and paved the way that I could come into salvation and paved the way that I could come in and experience freedom. And now I walk free and now I sleep in peace of mind. I don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't watch the news and shake and tremor. Why? Because I have that calm assurance that guess what? Wherever I go, whatever I do, Jesus is with me. He's leading me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, the steps of a good man, they are ordered of the Lord. He said, before you took your first breath, I already wrote everything down in your book. Are you seeing what I'm saying? We have always been on his mind. Always. Woo. Always been on his mind. So in Matthew, Jesus says, I want you to teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you. In Mark, he gets a little bit more heavy duty here. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Have you ever run into somebody that don't believe in baptism? Why wouldn't you want to get baptized? The water's warm. It's in front of a bunch of people. They can all be your followers on Facebook. There are churches that believe, there are denominations that used to believe baptism was a necessity, and they don't even baptize anymore at all. There's some in this town. I'm not going to name them. There are churches in this town that say, and denominations that say, Baptism's not necessary anymore. But Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So if you don't believe, that means you're not going to get baptized. So that means there's damnation coming. That's what Jesus said, right? You see, it gets hard because we're living in a generation that people are just really, really soft, sensitive, touchy, thin-skinned. People who say, I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't believe that. Who gave us the authority to believe what we want to believe in the Bible and what we don't want to believe in the Bible? You know what I'm saying? Who gave us that authority? I saw something on the internet. I don't know. I know I won't quote it right because I don't quote anything right. I got to go back and read it and study it and everything. But you know what? The Lord didn't give us the gospel for it to form and take care of the way we live. He made it to change us, to make us what we should be. You know what I'm saying? Jesus said, the Bible says that he came to seek and save that which was lost. Amen? Amen? When the one is save people, what? In their sins? Save people in their sins? Save people while they're still sinning? From. When I'm from somewhere, that means I'm not there anymore. I'm from Garrett County. Thank God I'm from Garrett County. Oh, yes. It is cold. It'll be snowing tonight. Trust me, you don't want to live out there. I'm from there. I'm not there anymore. I'm from there. I'm from sin, but I'm not there anymore. I'm from lying, but I don't lie anymore. I'm from gossip, but I don't gossip anymore. You picking this up yet? I'm from cussing, but I don't cuss anymore. I'm from getting angry, but I don't get angry anymore. I'm from cheating, but I don't cheat anymore. I'm from. You know, people just want to live the same way they're living now and then keep living that way, and then God's going to, you know, still love them, and they're just going to make it to heaven. And you know what? They can just walk that way all they want. They can just keep walk that way. They can just keep doing that because sooner or later the end of the journey is coming, and then you're going to hear him say, depart from me, you know, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Because there has to be a change that takes place. I don't have those notes today. Maybe you'll get them next week because it comes from the Greek word metanoio, metanoisate. Chi baptisteo metanoisate, cross out toss. That's a little Greek. Johnny understood some of that. Sounded Greek to you. You see, I just can't lay any old altar or sacrifice up on the altar. I had to make sure that they had to make sure that the sacrifice was spotless, that it was blameless, that it was perfect according to the standard that God made. I had somebody text me and say, "Oh, you know, baptism isn't even necessary. It's not even necessary in the scriptures." Oh, hold on. They sent this to me via text. Now, listen, that's when I hit the microphone and start talking. I said, I don't have time to get into it real heavy right now, but let's go back to the Old Testament. If the high priest, when he went into the holy place, did not wash, God said he will die. Oh. You got to wash. If you don't wash and you try to get in his presence, we just can't get in his presence until there is a change that takes place. It's called repentance. It's called you got to lay some things out. I'll tell you, I was a, Sister Duane, you know what this is. I was a chronic seeker. Those are the people that wear you out. I was a chronic seeker. Chronic seeker means you come up to the altar, and you get a little touch from the Lord, but you don't get the Holy Ghost, and you go leave again, and you come back the next time, and same thing. It's just a cycle. I told you about people in my home church. As soon as the altar, they stand up to give the altar, everybody turn and look to me like, you going? Rich Roy knows what I'm talking about. He's old school. And you didn't want to disappoint him, so yeah, you went on up. You prayed that you weren't too sleepy, because if you were too sleepy, you might fall asleep if it wasn't a real good prayer time. Or had gum in your mouth. Those were the days they slap you in the mouth and say, hey, spit your gum out. They didn't put a glove on Nathan. They said, spit the gum out. I never got the Holy Ghost in any of those instances. When I was asleep, when I had gum in my mouth, after I spit the gum out, nothing. Nothing worked. But I'm telling you what worked. When I came to that point in my life and I said, Jesus, there's that one room. Remember the waffle last week? There's that one compartment that I have held the keys to, that now I am giving you the keys. And you do what you want to do in my life. That's when here came the Holy Ghost into my life like a rushing mighty wind, like a river of living water. It just flowed out. You know why? Because I had changed and I had said, Lord, it's yours. Not holding on to this anymore. Man, I got the Holy Ghost and Ginger got mad. Imagine, don't even think about it. You know, it just happened. She got mad. All right, she got jealous. It's the same sin. It's black. She got jealous. She's 8. See, she started at an early age. She's 8. Well, that inspired her to go after the Holy Ghost, and she got it on Thursday night. I got it on Tuesday night at camp, and she got it on Thursday night at camp. I was 15, she was 8, you know? And so, it's the gospel. The gospel is going to bring changes into people's lives. You seen somebody that's been to the altar, signed the card, been voted on by the church or whatever, and they're still the same? But listen, when the power of the gospel gets a hold of you, when you are repented of your sins and you've made a turn and you said, I'm not doing that anymore. When you get baptized for the remission of your sins, that's what it says. It says for the remission of your sins. People say, oh, it doesn't do anything for sins anymore. It's just a public confession. That's not what the word says. The word says for the remission of sins. And I don't know when the blood is applied, Johnny. I don't know when it comes, but I do know this. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And the water represents the blood. Come on now, somebody. And when you get your sins washed away, and suddenly you throw your hands in the air, and you say, Jesus, I'm all yours. And boom, here it comes. Here it comes, and I'm telling you, that fire from, let's all stand, that fire from heaven gets in your soul, and it turns you upside down, and it turns you inside out, and it makes the shy person bold, and it makes the quiet person loud. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it makes the mean person nice. It's the power of the gospel. I hope I didn't do that. Did I do that? Jesus, she's used to this. So he says, then these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. We ought to take a census. Somebody needs to call every church in town tomorrow and see how many devils they cast out. How many devils you cast out in your service today? Well, we better make sure we got some on the plate too. Yeah, yep. Well, there you go. That thing keeps flipping. Oh, yeah, yeah. And they, oh, my Lord, no way. It doesn't say that, does it? That next line? They shall speak with new tongues. That's Jesus talking there. That's red. He said they're going to speak with new tongues. My. Yeah, tongues, you know, that's just gibberish. You don't know what you're saying. Well, I know people speak English and don't know what they're saying. You know? So what? But there's several reasons why God chose tongues. I can't get into it right now. Maybe we'll later. But James said that the tongue is the most unruly part of the body, that it sets worlds on fire, makes wars, right? So what did God do? He said, I'm going to take the most unruly part of your body that you don't know how to tame, and I'm going to show you how I can take it over. And he does. And he does. Oh, yeah. They shall speak with new tongues. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. The serpent thing I'm going to take as figuratively. As pastor, that is figuratively. Figuratively, yes. No. If it's literal, whoever wants to do the snakes can do the snakes. I'm going on to Denny's or somewhere. I ain't staying around for snakes. See what I'm saying? Going to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. One more great commission, and then we're done. You okay with this? Might as well, because we're almost done, right? You don't want to start all over with something else. Luke 24:46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, right? That he died, and to rise from the dead the third day. Oh. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. What name do we baptize in? The name of Jesus, his name, among all nations, beginning where? At Jerusalem. Oh, my. I'm telling you, that's where the old flow chart just starts breaking. And it goes this way, and it goes this way, and it goes this way. And he says, and you, my friends, are witnesses of these things. And behold, watch, I send the promise of the Father, the promise of my Father upon you. But wait in Vandalia, in Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. Oh, my Lord. Oh, man, right there it is. That's the gospel. Next time, I'm going to show you how the gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And do you know that all of you in here that have received the gospel, you've already been through this process. You may not have known everything was, but it clicks together. But that's how it works. You see, God is a God of order, and God is a God of a system. He's got a plan, got it all put together. All we got to do is follow it. And we know on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell. Amen? And the power of God filled that room. And they received the Holy Ghost, and they spoke with tongues. And then what happened? They got baptized. 3,120 souls in one day. That, my friends, is a move of God. So, thank you for coming on this fifth Sunday. It's a beautiful October day. Next Sunday will be November. It'll be great. Halloween will be over. It'll be done. Amen. Glory. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. Lord, your word is forever settled in heaven and in earth. And Lord, everyone in this room has somehow and some way and at some time experienced somebody that, Lord, just doesn't see the gospel, doesn't know how the gospel is put together and how it clicks. But Lord, I pray that through this word today, that there will be revelation and understanding come to us, that we will begin to see your power in such a mighty, mighty way, in such a different way, that your gospel is as easy as ABC and 1, 2, 3. Now, Lord, as we leave this place, let your spirit go with us. Oh, yeah. Lord, let your power rest upon us. Let your grace and mercies and goodness follow us as they say they do all the days of our lives. We give you all the glory and all the praise in the name of Jesus. Bless the Lord. Celebrate Recovery Tuesday night. Can somebody agree with me on that? Bless that ministry Tuesday night. Bless the Wednesday night Bible study, Lord. Oh, Lord, we got to have the word. Help us to show up for the word. And, Lord, show up for prayer on Saturday. And we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand praise, would you? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, if men can meet with Danny right up here real fast about the men's deal, I hope all y'all can go. How about that? All y'all. All y'all can go. All you men. All you men. Come on, real fast.